Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The city that bombed itself. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
State police helicopter drops it. There is the explosion.
What you are looking at now is a live picture of the water cannons pouring high-pressured streams of water onto the top of the move house.
On May 13th, 1985, the city of Philadelphia dropped a bomb on itself. And this is the story of the MOVE bombing.
Oh.
And I know I brought this up to you.
You have.
And this has been a long time coming. I've kind of been sitting on this for a while, and it actually became part of the first episode of Strange Year and 1985. But this is going to be a little bit of a bigger conversation. There's been new news in it. So I thought this is a really good time to do it. And it was just something I was... I don't know, just sitting on it for a while because when I found out about it from my brother, Tim, he lives in Philadelphia.
Timothy Horton.
Nope.
No?
No. Okay. Different last name. Right. Nice try to, like, I don't know, put us in a little box.
I thought I would just personalize.
Don't.
Okay.
We're just cogs in a machine.
Gotcha. Back to Philly.
He told me. He mentioned it. He brought it up. Then I found they just recently erected a placard. This was a historical site, which is very important and a long time coming. And the fact that myself, and if you look like on Reddit, it's these things that they're not in history books and things that people really don't know about. And the MOVE bombing of 1985 is one of those things. So I... went to Philadelphia. I went to where the historical monument is. I went to the row homes, which are now being, you know, constantly being redeveloped.
Yeah.
I remember my brother and I were walking up to, I wanted to find the, like, the main home of movement, I guess. And I found, I took a picture in front of it, but it was a little painstaking, but there was, you know, it's African American, you know, the whole area. But my brother and I were walking, and these two women were like, "Oh, you guys thinking about buying a house?" And we're like, "No,
yeah,
not for the sake of, like, because of the area, because it was actually, you know, it's beautiful over there. It's the fact that we can't afford it, and nor do we need it."
But for a second, you were disguised as someone who may, in some universe, be able to afford a home.
Yeah, no, this is not that day. You know, I love the 1980s because I feel like strife and crime were really peaking at that time. I mean, they always, and not enough has changed since then. But just the fact that one of these things is like, I never learned about this in school. I mean, how often do you hear about like a militia or domestic terrorists where, like, you know, the state of Washington is like, well, we're just going to drop a bomb on the building. Ever? Yeah. Do you ever hear that?
No. I mean, I don't even hear. I have huge gaps in just my regular gen ed. You know, it's like, even like the Soviet Union, you know, they were like, well, you don't need to know this. God bless America. I don't know. Go to math.
But in the United States, it's really unheard of to you drop like a bomb on your own.
Yes.
Your own residents, citizens, U.S. citizens, residents, destroying your own neighborhoods in order to stop a what we're going to find is a movement. Oh, it's a movement. You know, they could say it's political. You can say it's just in an organizational sense, just like when people talk about the NRA and when the Black Panthers were like, we want guns. The NRA was like, you know, we should really do something about these guns. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like too many guns.
Yeah, we should tone that down.
We should tone that down. Mm-hmm. This is going to kind of fall in line. And I think this is going to be one of those episodes that might be a little bit polarizing, depending on who's listening and what you think. It's definitely like racially charged. It's as far as class is charged, like the class system.
Yeah.
And it's at a time where just things are rough. The city of Philadelphia is an amazing city. I talk about it a lot in here.
Yeah, we do. There's been some great episodes. Philadelphia has a very rich history.
It's great. And it's very, when you think about like the beginning of the United, you know, like the United States, like Philadelphia, it is the United States history was founded, personified.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's just a lot of crime. I mean, still, like, you know, parts of Philly. My brother, you know, they call it Killadelphia. And he works in a crime adjacent. Mm. So he has told me, you know, a lot of really rough stories. It's tough. They have a really bad homeless problem, just like Los Angeles says it.
Yeah, definitely.
Bad homeless problem. So when we get into this, it's going to be, I usually, you know me, I'm pretty middle of the road and we talk about things. And it's for you to kind of like.
You're not usually.
I'm not agenda filled.
No, you don't usually have like a trigger on something.
Yeah.
I don't either. I'm very diplomatic, very fair.
Sure, yeah.
Very even keel. Yeah.
It's like, let's hear both sides.
Yeah, let's hear, but mostly my side.
So this one might fall in that. I'm gonna try to be, because I've actually like kind of thought about this more. This is why it took me so long to do this one. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of those where I'm going to try to be as, you know, kind of objective as possible, but it's going to be a little hard for me to be there. So let's how about some information?
Let's get some info in.
So MOVE, and it's just called MOVE. It's not like, you know, meetings of very exciting people. Nothing. It's just called MOVE. But MOVE is, you know, the idea of like move. We got to change, shake things up.
Yeah.
Was created in 1972 by John Africa. So people in MOVE adopted the name Africa.
Okay.
It's, you know, for reasons that you can imagine. He was born Vincent Lephart, and he was a West Philadelphia native, Korean War veteran.
Mm.
That's not enough. You know what I mean? Like, who cares if it's a vet? It's a vet when it's convenient. It's not a vet. Not to say that if you're a veteran, you are like anything you do is right or anything like that. But it's still, it's like, you know, you ask people to sacrifice things and then is kind of what you get.
What we've done to our veterans in the United States is pretty appalling.
So he had an ideology which was, you know, Black revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is at a time because it's 1972, you know what I mean? Vietnam is, you know, still, it's still going strong and there's just a lot of tension and combined with environmental rights, animal rights, nature, back to basics. So it's a combination of like Black power and hippies, kind of putting those two things together. So, you know, there is like a somewhat of like a militant side, but there's also a very, let's treat the world better.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. It's all like social, environmental justice in the broadest sense.
Yes. Which is, I think, you know, somewhat unique.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Sort of. I mean, it's,
I just think, well, I think, you know, I think we're going to be moving forward into a more violent space soon, I assume. So I think a lot of those get kind of
muddled.
Yeah, and like segmented when we get into that.
Their principles are also anti-government, which a lot of people were, I would say, pretty, you know, kind of.
Well, the throes of the Vietnam War, you're a Black person in Philadelphia.
Yeah. You got Democratic National Conventions.
You're a veteran. I mean, you're,
Anti-technology, which, hey, listen.
Hey,
where would the podcast be without technology?
Yeah.
And religious organizations. So it's pretty free of a lot of those things. And obviously the tensions between the residents and city of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia police, and MOVE between just racial and then kind of citywide and police, nobody got along very well.
Yeah.
which is
people were not like in drum circles.
And I don't expect that, you know, it's like not that I don't, I wasn't like, well, why wasn't everyone in perfect harmony? Mm-hmm. It's just not very realistic. And yeah. I want to, you know, be kind of fair to the sense where it's like, I wasn't expect, Philadelphia 1985. Well, I expect everyone to be holding hands and everything's mm-hmm. great. They would protest, nonviolent protests, demonstrations at zoos, pet stores, like very animal rights. And
so when we're talking animal rights, or like what, to what extent are we talking, like don't keep animals, vegan, like, you know, protect our wild lands?
Yeah, I think it's maybe probably the treatment of animals. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't, you know, I didn't, you know, look to see like who's wearing a leather mm-hmm. jacket or not, but I'm sure it was of that time where people were kind of like, well, they're animals, or just who cares? Mm-hmm. Kick a dog, what do I care? You know what yeah. I mean? Like things like that. They were into composting, homeschooling, raw mm-hmm. foods. So wow. you can imagine me, yeah. a lot of vegetarians and vegans, and were outspoken against war and brutality. Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward to 1978. There was a 15-month standoff. The then mayor, Frank Rizzo, mm-hmm. It's a pretty mayor-y name, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Perfect name. Yeah. That guy, you know, doesn't go home till late and drinks 14 cups of coffee a day. Bad suits.
Frank Rizzo notoriously did not have a great relationship with black residents, activist groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No surprise.
I mean, in my head, he's like this prototypical New England, you know, tough, authority figure, hard-boiled, white yeah. dude. Not interested in really the plight of a lot of people.
So he ordered the groups. He's like, I want you out of these homes because you've kind of taken over this area. So he wanted them removed from their homes. Mm-hmm. Just break it up.
Yeah.
Get them out of here. It's like you're kind of forming a, when you're forming what seems like might be some front, uh-huh. you, that tries to get broken up.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, it ended with the death of a police officer.
Oof.
Yeah. So there was the unfortunate death of a police officer. Again, this is going to be controversial mm-hmm. as well for many different reasons. And 9 members of MOVE, nicknamed the MOVE 9, were convicted, given life sentences, mm-hmm. controversially. Debbie Sims Africa was arrested and sentenced to 30 to 100 years
God.
For the shooting death of Officer James Ramp. There was a police siege of their communal home on August 8th, 1978. Shooting broke out. Ramp was killed by a single bullet. Ugh. Stray bullet, single bullet. I guess it depends on who you're asking. Prosecutors alleged that MOVE members fired the fatal shot and charged Sims Africa and the other 8 with collectively being responsible for his death. I mean, listen, a police officer dies.
Yeah. It's,
you're done. Understandably, like, I don't expect people to be like, wait, hold on, everyone just chill. Like, mm-hmm. I expect there to be outrage.
Yeah. Well, also, like, everything with every, like, all of the officers in the area, I'm sure, like, ramping up all their shit, you know, like, on the defenses. Everything gets turned up 5 notches.
Eyewitnesses gave accounts suggesting that the shot may have come from the opposite direction to the basement. Being the possibility that he was accidentally shot by friendly fire, by police fire. Mm. The MOVE members continued to insist that they had no workable guns in the house at the time of the siege. Several months earlier, in May 1978, several guns, most of them inoperative, had been handed over to police at the MOVE house. Prosecutors at the trial, the MOVE 9, told the jury at the time that the siege there, the guns have been functioning fine. Now, I don't know if that's mm-hmm. true or not true. I mean, you know. All our guns don't work. Not to say that that's how it went, but, you know, let's be kind of, I'm trying to be objective with this. That seems like something a little bit that could be far-fetched. Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. Wasn't there. But I'm not going to just say like, oh, that's definitely how things happen in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't know much about guns or, like, the functionality of guns, but...
Well, how they're getting them. Are they getting... Are they being, like, pieced together where they're, like, so things don't get traced?
Yeah.
But they were a, you know, they were definitely an armed mm-hmm. group.
Yeah.
For, you know what I mean? Like, for the same reasons probably anyone is.
Yeah.
Like, the way that Black Panthers were or, like, you know, militias now.
Yeah.
Except, you know, when it's...
Or just an average Texan, you know? It's like you're packing heat. You got a couple guns on you.
But if, you know, if it's a organized group of African Americans, it's, you know, come on, let's be realistic. You know, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's a charged situation in a what I assume to be a predominantly white police area.
Yeah,
which again, gross assumption.
And a very mixed and heavily African American
neighborhood area. Yeah, it's a recipe for something to go down, and it does.
And it does. Yeah. On the evening of May 13th, 1995, years of conflict between the police and MOVE, again, attempting to evict the group from the homes, conflicts with the other residents. So it's not just with police, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Neighbors don't get along, even on the smallest scale.
Yeah.
So I imagine on this very large scale, it's, you know, it's, and you know, I'm can't necessarily blame the people around them. They don't know what they're involved in.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do and they're just like, I'm racist. I mean, that's it's a mix of things. Mm-hmm. As a result, the city of Philadelphia dropped a satchel bomb, a demolition device typically used in combat, laced with Tovex and C4 explosives on the MOVE organization. They were living at the 6200 block of Osage Avenue. Mm-hmm. 11 people were killed, including 5 children.
Oh, God.
Its founder, John Africa, 61 homes were destroyed.
Wow.
More than 250 citizens were left homeless. No one was charged for the attack.
Wow.
Nobody.
Oh, my God.
Only 2 people survived the bombing. Ramona Africa, who was then 29, and Bertie Africa, then 13, were badly burned. Despite 2 grand jury investigations, a civil suit, and a commission final report cited the bombing as reckless, ill-conceived, and hastily approved. Still, nobody was charged.
Like, fucking will what?
Will agree that, like, hey, although in U.S. history, I'm sure it might be out there. If it is, it's very few and far between. Mm-hmm. But it's unheard of. You might think like, oh, that happens in the Middle East. Oh, sure, they do that. No, this mm-hmm. happened
in Philadelphia
in the mid-1980s in the city of one of the biggest cities in where the Liberty Bell is.
Yeah.
Not to get too patriotic.
No, but this is not what a country does to its people, and especially a country that's first world, you know, sophisticated, very contemporary time. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And then nobody got charged for it.
Nobody got charged for it. You never learned about it.
But I also fear that, like, this could happen now, too. You know? I mean, that was 85. Like, Trump's our president. Like, who knows? Like,
I want to say just to be scary to me. I want to say just to be, like, on a positive spin is that how the 80s are different maybe from right now is the power of information and news.
Yes, people recording it, people spreading the word, people being vocal about injustices. Yes, true. But still, there's so many things that go unnoticed now with all of that.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, cities in the United States that kind of get left by the wayside. So it's in a very passive way that does happen. But this is just one of the things that has happened way too recently, and it's way too important that only now people are discussing it. There's like a documentary that came out about it. It was a tough one.
So
one of the survivors, Ramona Africa, immediately went on to serve 7 years in prison for rioting and conspiracy charges for arrest warrants from before the bombing.
Oh,
so
God, I like how the bombing is just like, you survive, we'll take you to jail.
Yeah. But hey, listen, we're not putting you in jail because of what happened here. Mm-hmm. This is some other warrants. Ugh. And what is rioting and what is conspiracy? You know, I'm not, I understand why people riot. You're put like in a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't say like, oh, good, you destroy your neighborhoods or destroy things. I don't necessarily advocate that, but I understand as a human being, like what it's like must be with to feel like your back is against the wall.
Yeah. Also, like a lot of people in groups like this, they want to preserve their neighborhoods. Yeah. They want to preserve their dignity and livelihood and lifestyle. It's not like they're like, fuck this neighbor. It's like, no, I am so invested in this. And so the idea of someone bombing the thing that they love, it's such a slight.
And conspiracy charges. We don't agree with what you say. That's conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been going on for a very long time. So I don't know that part of the information. It, for me being objective, let's even pretend it's valid. It seems kind of like, hey, listen, you survived your own, the United States, mm-hmm. Philadelphia, a bombing that we did.
Yeah.
That should be like the last thing we should do is to imprison you. But also it's kind of like, if we can get her in prison, you know, we can get her in prison because we don't, we're out there running around going, hey, I survived a bombing. Yeah. I would like to go on, you know,
this outlet. Cause like, here's the bomb
I want Phil Donahue or yeah. whatever, you know, get picked up by the news.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back for a second because this is something that came out very recently. On August 8th, 1978, MOVE member Delbert Africa climbed out of his basement and raised his arms to the sky and surrendered, which there's a photo of it. It's a very famous photo. Mm-hmm. And it was probably one of the most iconic of Philadelphia history as far as – even if you see it, you might be like, oh, this looks familiar. And then seconds later, police officers were caught on film beating Africa with a helmet and rifle, then dragged him by his dreadlocks. The incident was part of the first armed battle between Philadelphia and MOVE. So in the last couple of days, Delbert Africa, now 73, we see that same picture because he was freed from prison after 42
wow.
years.
Wow.
42 years. So you see those pictures side by side. It's like pretty amazing, and I'm going to go on a limb and say that probably the 42 years he served was unjust.
Yeah, I think,
and I'm going to assume, and I'm also going to assume that he, I'm also going to assume that he did something to warrant getting arrested. I'm even going to be that fair and just say, I'm just going to assume it just to keep, mm-hmm. so people, you know, aren't like, well, you just think everything. But I have a feeling, based on all this information, all this like very kind of subverted, like kind mm-hmm. of suppressed information, that and the incarceration times of people, I mean, especially back then, 42 years. I mean, people get away. People do a lot worse and get out.
Less? Are you kidding me? I can think of some right now. I just can't even. Like, there have been worse things done and people served nothing. I think this is, I will not go out on a limb and say I think this is unjust, grotesque. This is a case of someone's crime, which is, in my mind, very, very small, if at all, just like trying to represent their community and trying to have a lifestyle that they can be proud of. Like, totally unjust, totally racist, really unfair. And I think we should be ashamed. And I think more people should know about this. And I think I want to see the documentary.
Yeah, I've watched some of the documentary. Of course, before I went to Philadelphia, I looked at a lot of photos. So when you see these photos and then you go there and you mm-hmm. try to like juxtapose those things, mm-hmm. it's hard to wrap your head around because we see there's like a nice stream and then the row homes mm-hmm. on Osage Avenue and everything's being like I went into the main house on the homes. I think it was 6221 mm-hmm. and just, you know, just, and there people were working on it.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I took a picture in front of it just for like posterity.
America should be ashamed. We should be talking about this. We should be talking about how we never should do this again and how we oppress people in this country based on the color of their skin and their socioeconomic status and learn from it. And I don't know if we do. I mean, cynically, I'm not sure that we have.
And I think, you know, and my optimistic side okay. says that, they made it a national landmark.
Okay.
So there is an effort to better late than never.
Sure.
But I wonder, like, if you don't know about this, then you don't know about it.
Yeah. What about the families of the Africas? You know, like, what about the people that were affected by this, though? What do they get for this? The people who died, you know, nothing, right? What, they died instead of going to jail for 42 years? Congratulations. Yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
I want to thank Vox, Guardian, and the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Oof.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one. But I would suggest, you know, checking out the documentary. Mm-hmm. I would suggest looking at some of these photos, reading more about it, not just getting our point of view on it. It's just an interesting part of American history that I don't know if you're going to, don't wait to get it handed to you because you yeah. probably won't.
You won't. And this is another thing. It's like you have to seek out the real shit.
The night after police removed Ramona Africa from the house on Osage Street, she was taken to Misericordia Hospital in West Philadelphia, where she refused treatment for a second degree burn. Then police took her to police headquarters, where homicide detectives are questioning her right now. Ramona Africa.
I still didn't know that, you know, everyone else had been killed. Not one single official involved in the planning or murder of my family has ever been charged with anything, imprisoned for anything, held accountable in any way. The only person to go to prison as a result of the events of May 13th, 1985 is me.